Matthew chapter 3. We return again to our text in this particular chapter, found in verses 5 and 6, regarding this revival in a wilderness. We read in verse 5, "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." As we considered this revival in the wilderness, last Sabbath morning we considered the background to the revival. And we noted, first of all, with regard to the background to the revival, the pollution of the land, namely the spiritual pollution, the apostasy, the immoral behavior of the leaders. We noted that in Luke chapter 3 we are given the names of five political leaders, all of whom were cruel and wicked men. We were given the names there of two of the high priests. Again, individuals who were corrupt in their practices and in their behavior. And as we pointed out, whatever direction the religious leaders are going, that's the direction the nation will go. And so we noted the pollution of the land, both political and spiritual. And yet the Lord was pleased to send revival. We noted also the place. All of Jerusalem and Judea and the region round about Jordan went out to the wilderness, the place where God sent revival. You could say a most unlikely place, namely a wilderness. And yet it was so symbolic of the state of the land, for the land was in a state of spiritual wickedness. And it was indeed a spiritual wilderness. And the Lord sent rivers of blessing into that wilderness under the ministry of John the Baptist, when the people from Jerusalem and all Judea went out, sat under his ministry, and were converted and were saved by grace, confessing their sins, and then were baptized in the Jordan. So we noted the pollution of the land. We noted the place in the land. We noticed the preaching in the land. John the Baptist was a preacher of the word. For we read in verse 1, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness." We noted the method was the preaching. We're not told that John did anything else other than he preached the word. He did not supplement his preaching with anything else. It was the preaching of the word, and the preaching of the word alone. So many today have abandoned the preaching of the word and replaced it with other things. John simply preach the word. That was the method. We noted the minister. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Just one voice. The Lord was pleased to use that one voice, as he used the voice of Peter on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verse 14, Peter lifted up his voice, one voice. And as a result, over 3,000 souls were saved and added to the church. We took encouragement from this, that the Lord will use the voice of one man who stands true to the blood and to the book, who will be faithful in the preaching of the word. It may be a barren spiritual wilderness all around him, but if he preaches the word, God will bless his preaching. God will use his preaching as he used John's preaching even to a revival. We noted also the message. What was the message? It was clear. It was plain. Repent, ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The land, as I say, had turned away from God. The priests had apostatized. The political leaders were ungodly men. The appropriate message for John to preach then was this message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as John preached repentance, the Lord Jesus preached repentance. As we know, the Lord commenced his ministry with the same message. And as we read in Acts 3 and verse 19, repent and be converted. There's no conversion where there's no repentance. It's not a matter of feeling sorry for ourselves and being sorry for our sin. No, that's not repentance. Repentance is turning away from our sin. As we pointed out, the word repent means to turn away, to go in a completely different direction. John preached that. And as a result, there were those in the wilderness whom we are told came confessing their sins. They wanted to put distance between themselves and their sin. That was the background to the revival. This morning I want to look at the blessings of revival. Revival, of course, brings many lasting blessings. This can be seen in those words we find in verses 5 and 6. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. There's the blessing. Blessing is seen, first of all, in the crowds. For we are told, then went out to him Jerusalem, all Judea, and the region round about Jordan. So there were vast crowds, vast multitudes, went out into the wilderness to hear the preaching of John. They left their towns and their villages and their cities, and they went into a wilderness. We may ask ourselves, what was the attraction? Why would men and women leave the comfort of their homes, leave their towns and their cities, and go into the wilderness? Well, the answer is given to us. Then went out to him, Jerusalem and all Judea. They went out to him. They went out to John. their attention is drawn to the instrument God used in this revival. Who was the instrument? The instrument was John, of course. And the people of Jerusalem, all Judea, and the region round about Jericho went out to him. Now, what can be said about John as he preached there in the wilderness? Well, the Lord Jesus tells us. You turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. And we read in verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? So he's obviously referring to what is recorded in Matthew 3. And the Lord says to the multitudes, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? What attracted you? Was it a reed shaken with the wind? The answer is no. That's not what attracted the people. They didn't go out to see a reed shaken in the wind. Then he asked the question again. What went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? The answer again was no. A man clothed in soft raiment, behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. In other words, the Lord was saying, no, this was no effeminate individual that went about in soft clothing. This was a man. John the Baptist was a man. And indeed, Matthew tells us how he was clothed. For he came, then came John, and he had raiment of camel's hair. There's nothing soft about camel's hair. There's a very rough hair. And so John wore a very rough garment. And he had a leathern girdle about him. But returning to what the Lord said, verse 9, Matthew 11. What went ye out for to see? A prophet? The Lord said, yea, or he said, yes. Wasn't the fact that you went out to see one like a reed shaken in the wind? You didn't go out to see a man who was clothed in soft raiment. You went out to see a man who was a prophet. And the word prophet is interchangeable with the word preacher. That's why they went out into the wilderness. What went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he, of whom it is written, behold, I sent my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before me. John, the Lord said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. That's what the people went out to see. They went out to see a prophet. They went out to hear a preacher. And the Lord tells us that this was he of whom Malachi spoke. For the Lord said, I will send my messenger. John was the Lord's messenger. Malachi 3 and verse 1. He went out to see the man. What kind of a man? A preacher of the word. We may ask what it was that John preached. Well, in Luke 3, verse 2, we are told. We're told his message. We know that he preached repentance. But look at chapter 3 of Luke and verse 2. Annas and Caiaphas, there you have the two high priests, two religious leaders. Ananias and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. In other words, when John was in the wilderness, the word that John preached unto the people was the word of God. The word of God came unto John in the wilderness. Is it any wonder then that revival came? That the Lord used the ministry of John the Baptist? He preached the word of God. Isn't that what Jonah did? When he eventually went to Nineveh? We studied that a few weeks ago. And we read in Jonah 3 and verse 1, the Lord said, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city," listen, "and preach against it the preaching that I bid thee." In other words, Jonah was to preach the word of God. He was not to preach anything of man's philosophy. He was not to preach humanism. He was to preach the word of God. And God sent revival to Nineveh. John went into the wilderness and preached the word of God, and God sent revival to the wilderness. That's what we must continue to do. Preach the word of God. It must always be the word of God, because it's the preaching of the word of God that God blesses. Preach the preaching that I bid thee. Jonah dare not preach anything else other than the word of God. John the Baptist dare not preach anything other than what the Lord gave him to preach, which was, of course, the word of God. Listen to what Paul had to say about those who do not preach the word of God. Galatians 1, verse 6, Paul said, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." You see, the Galatians had turned from the gospel of grace and they had turned to the law, believing that the law would make them more spiritual, doing what the law commanded. And they were supplementing the gospel of grace with the law. And Paul said in verse 7, regarding this other gospel, he says, "Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, if a preacher used that language, there would be those in the congregation who would say, "Preacher, you went too far. That's awful language to use." Well, it's not the language of the preacher. It is the Word of God. Paul said, "If I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." You know what that means? Let him go to hell. And in case they missed it, Paul repeats the words. "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Woe betide the man that preaches anything other than what is in this book. This book is God's word from Genesis to Revelation. Woe betide the man that sets aside this book and preaches something of his own imagination. Paul says, let him be accursed. John the Baptist preached the word. The Word of God. Jonah preached the Word. The Word of God. We must preach the Word. It must always be the Word of God. So we have the man. "What went ye out for to see?" You went out to see a prophet. Yea. That's right, the Lord said. You went out to see a prophet, and I say, more than a prophet. For this is he which shall be my messenger. He's quoting from Malachi 3:1. In other words, John the Baptist preached the word of God, and John the Baptist preached Christ. That's what he preached. Because he was the Lord's messenger. And he told people about the Lord. That brings us to his mission. You have the man and the mission. The Lord reminded his hearers of John's mission. As we've already read there in Matthew 11. And verse 10, "For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I sent my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Speaking about himself, John the Baptist was the Lord's messenger. He would prepare the way for the Lord. He would tell the people about the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus was coming and going to commence his ministry. In other words, John, as a messenger of the Lord, went forth preaching Christ. That was his mission. That was his mission. And it was a mission which John faithfully carried out. John chapter 10. What a wonderful testimony John had with regard to his preaching and his preaching of Christ. John chapter 10 and verse 39. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, that is Christ. Verse 40. And went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized. That would be referred to what we have in Matthew 3. And there he abode. There the Lord abode. Verse 41. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. There's John's testimony. What a witness John had. This is what people said about John. They said of John, he did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man, namely Christ, were true. Oh, to have a testimony like that, where people will say of the preacher, well, he did no miracle, but everything he said about Christ was true. In other words, he spoke well of Christ. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. That's what it is to be faithful, a faithful preacher of Christ and a faithful preacher of the Word. We must always speak the truth about Christ. That's what John did. And John, or the Lord blessed the ministry of John because he preached the Word of God. Because he preached Christ. And as a result, revival came to the wilderness. Let's look again at John's preaching over in the Gospel of John. In chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 15. And John bare witness of him. I read somewhere one time that John's life cannot be understood apart from Christ. Because, you see, John the Baptist's life and ministry, everything about him was all wrapped up in the Lord. You can't separate the two. In fact, you study the life of John, the ministry of John, and it runs in parallel with the Lord Jesus. There are so many similarities. Not only did John the Baptist preach Christ, John the Baptist was like Christ. And here we read in John chapter 1, verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. For he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received in grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. There's John's witness. John preached Christ. Same chapter of John, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away or beareth away the sin of the world. That was John's message. He bare witness of Christ. He preached Christ. He said to his people, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now go down the chapter. What did we read? Verse 29 again. The next day John saith, Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." Go down the chapter to verse 35. Again the next day. The next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." Same message. Day after day after day after day, John preached the same message. He bore witness of Christ. He went out and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then it says, the next day, it's the same message, "Behold the Lamb of God." That's what we need. That's what we need. Consistent, faithful preaching of the Word and faithful, consistent preaching of Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. Happy if with my latest breath I cry, "Behold, behold the Lamb." So it was with John. You know what the Lord said? John 12, verse 32, the Lord Jesus said, If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And that's what John did in the wilderness. He lifted up Christ. And what happened? The people of Jerusalem and all Judea and the region round about the Jordan were drawn out to Christ. Let's keep at it. And keep promoting Christ. Keep preaching Christ. The Lord is bound to bless, as he did the ministry of John. The man, the mission, and the ministry. There is something written about John's ministry that sets him apart. You go over to Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, we read in verse 13, "And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord." No, not great in parliament, or great in riches or prosperity. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Listen, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. That set John apart from anybody else, because John was filled with the Holy Ghost even before he was born. before he was born, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. But read on. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. What did we say repentance means? It means to turn. To turn away from sin. Well, there you have it. Verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What a ministry John had. God blessed the ministry of John. John preached repentance. And here the Lord tells us in Luke 1 that the ministry of John will be blessed because he will turn many unto the Lord God of heaven. There's the blessings of revival. Men and women are turned to the Lord, turned from their sin. To those who went out to hear him, John said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's what happened. The people turned. The message of repentance and salvation through faith alone and Christ alone that has been abandoned by so many today is honored and blessed of heaven. God bless that message. You notice regarding this man, not only the crowds, but the conversions. The conversions, yes, there were many were turned through the preaching of John. For we read in verse 6, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. There you have their conversions. Revival, of course, means times of refreshing for Christians and churches. But revival also brings salvation to many souls. And here we are told that the people came confessing their sin. These were not empty professions. Are men and women making a commitment? My, how I hate that word when it's used in relation to salvation. Oh, so-and-so made a commitment to Christ. Bible doesn't talk about commitment in salvation, relating to salvation. Anybody can be a committed something or other. You can be a committed communist. You can be a committed socialist. But when it comes to Christianity, it's not commitment. It's conversion. That's different. Or you can be a committed Christian and live for the Lord, but before that comes the conversion. We must perceive it first. But there are many today and they talk about being committed. But there's no testimony. They can't speak about a day when they were born again of the Spirit of God. They cannot speak about experiencing the new birth. That comes first. That cannot be left out. And the people who went out to listen to John, they confessed their sins. They acknowledged that they were sinners. And they confessed that they were sinners. And the only way that sin can be removed is if we confess our sins, knowing the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Repent ye therefore and be converted, see? Doesn't say make a commitment and be converted, no. It says, repent ye and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3, verse 19. Repent, be converted. Turn away from your sin and be converted. Receive Christ by faith. That is salvation. That's the new birth. And seeing one or two souls repenting of their sin, being converted, is a great joy. It's a wonderful experience, having the soul winner's joy, preaching the word. Someone coming afterwards and saying, preacher, I'd like to get saved. You lead that soul to Christ. That gives great joy. So what must have been the joy of John when multitudes came to John confessing their sins and were converted? A whole multitude. That was revival indeed. Notice those in the wilderness wanted to put their sin from them. They confessed their sin, and as John the Apostle said, and we've already quoted it, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Cleanse away those sins. We don't want them anymore. That's what it is to be converted. It's not holding on to the sin. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth, listen, whoso confesseth and forsaketh, them shall have mercy. Confessing and forsaking. That's true conversion. We confess our sins. We forsake our sins. And mercy is what John's converts found when they confessed their sins. God had mercy on them. They were converted. Then we notice, with this we'll close, we notice their public confession. Because we are told, and went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Baptism is a public declaration that we have been saved and we have received Christ as our Savior. And so those who were converted went to the River Jordan, where the Lord Jesus went, went to the River Jordan, were baptized, and for all to see, it was a public witness, public testimony. And each individual could say, I have been born again. Thus is why I have been baptized. Public confession of Christ. And so those who confess their sins there in the wilderness, as the Lord said in Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16, they weren't hiding their light under a bushel. They did not intend going on through life being, as it were, a secret disciple, like Joseph of Arimathea. They wanted people to know that they had been converted. That was revival. That was revival in the wilderness. And how God used this man, John the Baptist. As we said last week, it is reckoned John's ministry didn't last much more than 12 months. Some say 6 months. Some say 12 months. But my John made his life tell for the Lord. Here we are over 2,000 years later, and what are we doing today? We're talking about John. He being dead, yet liveth. May that be the case with us. May our lives tell for Christ. And who knows? The Lord may use any one of us to bring revival. After all, he used John. And he sent revival to a wilderness. Does that not tell us God can send revival here to us? Let us pray to that end. Let's bow in prayer now. Oh, our Father and our God, we do rejoice. We rejoice in what we have read this morning about the blessings of revival. We thank thee for the ministry of John the Baptist. We thank thee, dear Lord, for this man who was sent from God, whose name was John. But bless thee, Lord, for his faithful ministry, for his preaching of Christ, for this spirit-filled man who went forth with the prayer that Christ in him would increase, but that John himself would decrease. O Lord, have us to follow John's example. And be pleased, O Lord, to send us revival. As thou didst send revival to a wilderness, Lord, surely thou can send revival here, and we believe it. We ask thee, Lord, that thou would be with us as we gather around the table. Bring the cross before us. And for any, Lord, who must leave, we pray that thy blessing, Lord, will go with them. And our gracious Lord, abide with us all throughout this day. In our dear Savior's name we pray. Amen.